That's exciting. I mean, sad, but exciting.
To go home.
Yeah, jeez, it's been. Did you go home in the middle of the year, or was it this time last year? Yeah, that'd be tough.
This is weird. What's?
I mean, it stands up very straight as well.
Maybe that's why, but it's all right.
If you tilt it a bit and lower it.
Upside down.
Is that a bit better?
Yes, I think yes.
I wanted a guitar. I hate this one. I'm sick of it. Yeah. It just never sounds in tune. Actually, the issue is that all of the...
You have a crack in it.
No. All of the issue is that the nuts are actually worn down.
There's no sound
that
coming
pressing
out.
On it is actually... there's just... It doesn't actually make the proper note. Because if you actually look at it, they're actually all got, like, divots in them.
Yeah, I don't think they. I think they're trying to figure that out. Where am I plugged in? Somewhere. I don't know. It was on the floor, so I just plugged it in.
Yeah, she should be A guitar.
No, that's.
You're on E.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kara should be acoustic guitar then. Yeah.
Are you okay?
Tired. I was going to say a stupid question, but do you have the sound turned up?
Yep.
Does it have batteries? Yeah.
They're hearing it. It's coming out.
Are you getting anything?
It's not, I can just do without it today. If that's too much. I'll just do without it.
That he gets to be with our brothers and sisters in a different nation and to encourage them. He's there with Jeffrey Tan, and most of you, well, some of you might know him. Before I start, it'd be great, let's just join in prayer for their time there, because they're really wanting to empower people, families, to look to God, to power on for Jesus where they are. And it's always a really long flight to get there and a really long flight getting back. So it'd be great just to pray for Toe and for Jeff, that they would also just really be encouraged by God's presence. So, Father God, we do lift up to you Toe and Jeff. And, Lord, we just thank you so much for this opportunity that they're there. And, Lord, that you've opened the way for that. And Lord, as they join in celebrating you with brothers and sisters in Indonesia, in Palu, Lord, we pray for a significant time in you as they gather, Lord, that they would know that your presence is strongly with them, that, Lord, that you would be doing miracles of healing, of restoring relationships, healing and mending hearts, and, Lord, strengthening families, restoring children back to their parents, Lord, and doing a marvellous work in building up your people and your church in that place, that they would be a powerful witness for you, Lord, that they would shine and that many would come to you in that place. And, Lord, we pray that this time would be significant and as a result that we'll hear stories to follow about how lives are changed and that people are coming to you, Lord Jesus. So we speak blessing upon blessing. Would you just pour it out a hundredfold over them, Lord God, and we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Well, today we're continuing our little theme that we had last month called "What Is It? How Do We Live Like Jesus?" in 2023. And I was thinking, you know, we're coming to the end of the year. People are often looking forward to holidays, having a break, and having a rest. And I thought, well, what does your word say about what does it mean to rest like you, Jesus? Because we want to rest well. And if we do things like Jesus, because he modelled for us how to be the best sort of human, it'd be great to find out. So I just thought, even before we start, maybe just turn to the person next to you or near you and just say what you like to do to help you rest. What do you like to do to rest? Leslie and Jen, you can yell at each other across the room. Well, I can hear lots of different ideas being thrown around. That's great. I think for some of us, we might feel we never get enough rest. We never quite find the time. And sometimes when we do find the time to rest, we can feel guilty about it because we think, oh, we should be busy again. And we don't give ourselves the space to do that. Some of us have no trouble at resting at all. But it's great that, you know, the Bible talks about everything in terms of our life and it talks about rest as well. Right at the very beginning, we might bring you back here. Awesome sharing, guys. Oh, I love it when you get really into it. That's awesome. Awesome. So right at the beginning of the Bible, God demonstrates for us that rest is meant to be a part of our life. And when we read through the beginning of Genesis, we see that God created the world, was really satisfied with his work, and after 6 days had a look at it and said, wow, that's so good. It was very good. And then in Genesis 2, verse 2, it said, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. That might be the next slide. And then he said, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So what can we get from this, these verses about rest? Well, God is saying that he finished his work and he rested. So he makes reference to rest three times. And so in Genesis, it also says that we're made in God's image. So it would seem that also if rest was important to God, then God is saying rest is also necessary for us. He also says that he blessed the seventh day. And when we look at to see what that actually means, it means to adore and to praise, to really be thankful. And holy, it says he also made it to be holy. It's set apart. It's different. It's different from what we were doing prior to that. So God had been working and then he rested. So it was a different activity that he did. So I think for us then we can see that we are to enjoy and receive rest. It's a blessing to receive it as a blessing, as a gift from God. It's to be different from what we do all the other days of the week. And we're to honour this time, to make it holy, to honour, to give it the time it's due, as opposed to maybe shunning it off and thinking, oh no, I've got so much to do, and keep putting it off, or thinking, I really can't rest. I've got too many obligations, too many people expecting me to do things. But no, we're meant to accept that this is a gift. And it's interesting too, the way God made us, because he could have made us in a way that we didn't need rest. He could have made it that we could just keep working. I mean, God was able to do it. He could have made us the same way, but he didn't. He made us with limitations and the need for rest. And if that's the case, then we need to accept that and don't try to sort of outsmart God and think, oh no, I know better, I'll just keep going. He's made us for rest. So it's good for us to realise that and to accept the way that we've been made. Later in Scripture, in Exodus, the seventh day is called the Sabbath. And the word Sabbath actually means rest. So in a story where God is providing manna in the desert, where they go pick it up in the morning, the word Sabbath is first introduced. And in 16, verse 29, it says, "The Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days." So they pick up the bread on the sixth day, 2 days' worth, because on the seventh day they're going to rest. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested, or they did the Sabbat. They rested on the seventh day. So we are created for work, but we're also created for rest. Okay, so that's the Old Testament. So the question now rises for me. So what did God show us when he put on flesh and came to earth in Jesus? What did he model to us to now live as human beings in this area of rest? What would it look like? Now, we need to remember that Jesus came to bring us out of a religious way of life and of thinking with rules. And that's the rules and the religion were things that people would, especially we see the Pharisees, really holding on to, like, yes, I must follow the rules. And they went, you know, on their own direction with that. And that became, because it became really important, following the rules was the important thing, rather than the relationship with God. And that's what Jesus came to restore us into, wasn't it? A relationship with God. So this means that Jesus modelled to us a new way, what it looks like to live by the Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be led by the Holy Spirit. And Paul echoes this as well in terms of our life in the Spirit that Jesus was showing us. In Romans 7:4 it starts, "You also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to one another, to him, to Jesus, who was raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit to God." And in verse 6 here, "By dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." And in Galatians, he picks up it again in that letter. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep with the Spirit." So this all had an impact then about how Jesus lived out the Sabbath. And we see in the stories about Jesus in the three synoptic Gospels in Matthew, Mark and Luke, they all have this same story. Not all of those three Gospels have exactly the same story, but the one about the Sabbath they do, which is really interesting. And I think because it's important to show us this new way of living in Christ. So the Pharisees went hard after Jesus, always trying to trip him up. And they noticed that Jesus was walking with his disciples in the fields on a Sunday, on a Sabbath, sorry, picking from the grain in the fields. And the Pharisees said, that's doing work, as though it's like it's harvesting, which it wasn't really. They were just getting some food. So they were really trying to nitpick over little things which weren't true. To try and show that, hey, we really believe you need to keep the Sabbath, not work, not do anything, and you're doing something. You're not allowed to. And so Jesus starts a debate with them. And we see it in Matthew 12, Luke 6 and Mark 2. And Jesus is showing stories from the Old Testament about how things were going on the Sabbath, which lawfully they shouldn't do, but people did. David went into the sanctuary and ate consecrated bread, which is really, really bad. But there's nowhere in Scripture that actually denotes or impugns that or says anything negative about doing that. It was allowed. So there were things about what God had instituted that the Pharisees were wanting to be very legalistic. In fact, they said to people, if you want to be healed, there are 6 days in the week to be healed, but don't come to us to be healed on the Sabbath. That's how strict they were. But Jesus came and he healed people on the Sabbath, and they were very upset about that. And in Matthew 2, verse 27, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. What he means by that is the Sabbath is not to have power over humanity, but it's but to serve us. Rest is a gift from God to us. It's not something that's meant to dominate and lord over us. And he goes on in the next verse to say, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So Jesus is saying he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is Lord of rest. Look to me. You know, we are now set free to live for Jesus. And in Colossians, if you have your Bibles, I haven't written it out, but in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, I'll just read out a few verses here. It says, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he, Jesus, took it away, nailing it to the cross. So Jesus cancelled all the written code and regulations, the law. And having disarmed the powers and authority, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So that means Jesus is greater than the law of the Sabbath, but we are still called to rest, but without the rigidity. And Jesus modelled what rest looks like for us now. So let's have a think about that and a look at that. Based on Scripture, how can we view rest for us now? First of all, I think we need to see that it's essential. You know, we're made to be like God who rested. We're made in God's image. So it's needful. We need it in our lives. We really need it. It's not something you can put off. It's essential. And God said, set that seventh day of rest apart to be blessed, to be holy. So we need to be thankful. We need to embrace rest, our times of rest, and say no to those thoughts of guilt when we feel like, oh, we shouldn't really be resting, this isn't really okay, I should be busy. I don't know if you feel like that sometimes, but life seems to be this constant, you know, what are those animals, little guinea pigs in the hamster in their wheel? Do you ever feel like that? I feel like that. But we're not made to be hamsters in a wheel. We're made to live in step with the Spirit and to have rest as well within that. It's okay to rest. So I want us to know that it's okay to rest. We don't need to be rigid, but we do need to be consistent. We don't need to be locked into a specific day or a time slot, but make sure we do it. Jesus was always about his Father's business, yet he rested and made time with Father God. So in this passage of Luke 5:16, it said, "But Jesus withdrew to lonely places and prayed." So he often withdrew. So it's saying that Jesus didn't step away from clouds once in a while. He did it. He often withdrew. That's good to know. He didn't wait till he was at the end of his rope, like he was so exhausted that he went. Instead, he made a habit of it. He was consistent. And I think doing that prevented him from burning out. And this enabled him to follow through with what God had asked him to do. I don't know if there's sometimes you say you put up your hand to do something. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. And then you get to it and you're so exhausted you actually can't do it. You can't follow through. Maybe if that's, I know that. So I'm writing and pondering on this week, I'm thinking, yeah, there's something in about having routine set times where I'm thinking, yeah, I need this afternoon off. I'm going to take a break. We need to think about how we're going to do that. There's a reason that we're created to sleep at least 6 to 8 hours every 24 hours. We need routine rest. You know, do you have a routine of rest? Have you worked something out in your life? Next, we can look at rest as a time to reflect and to reset with God. In Mark 1:35-39, there's a few verses there, but it starts off with, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Now, it shows that he got up even before the sun did, which tells us that he really was making time to have that spiritual rest first thing in the morning, that time out. So he didn't want the day to rush off in front of him before he did that. He prioritised alone time above sleeping in maybe a few more minutes. Just that little bit of alone time, or a lot, we don't know. And he left the house, so that means he went to a place where he wasn't going to be distracted. So good to think about, how can we do that? Because sometimes it's hard to get away from distractions, or we have to be intentional about doing that. You know, later on in this passage in verse 38, we don't have it up there, but he's spent time away and then his disciples come back and say, "Oh, everyone's looking for you." You know, like he's the man of the hour. He's doing great things. He's healing people, delivering people from demons. Great stuff's going on. And he could be caught up in that thinking, wow, you know, I'm the man. He wasn't egotistical, not like us. We might think, wow, good stuff's going on, ministry's going on, I'm doing it, God's using me, I don't want to miss out on this, let's go, let's do more. But Jesus, having spent some time of quiet, choosing not to keep going with this good thing, choosing to have that time out, to be with God and just reflect, see what's going on, when the disciples come and say, "Hey, everyone's looking for you, let's go." Jesus says to them, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." How good's that? He allows that moment so that Father God can speak to him, say, "Hey, look, this is really great. I actually want you over there now." Great. I'll go do that. You know, Jesus spending that time gained God's timeline, perspective and strategy for what the next thing was meant to be. Sometimes we might be unaware that we actually need to change course. this is great, yeah. Well, it might be really good, but maybe God's timeline can be different. He sees the bigger picture. We don't. So it's good for us to prioritise a few minutes every day, whether it's late or at night or in the morning, just to spend time with God and allow God to refresh, to reveal and to reset us. Sometimes reset and redirect. Sometimes we need to let God show us that He has a better way to go. And will we let Him? But that's always the invitation with God. Okay, the next thing about rest that's really helpful is boundaries. And that we need to set them. Boundaries are important. And we see that in Mark 4:36, Jesus, leaving the crowd behind, the disciples took him along just as he was in the boat. He left the crowd behind. So again, everyone's wanting Jesus. Everyone wants his time. You're the man, Jesus. But he knew that he needed to leave them behind. And so this example for us demonstrates the importance of setting healthy boundaries. Almost every day, Jesus found himself surrounded, being asked to preach and heal. And, you know, he did this from morning to night. But at this point, he decides he's leaving the crowds behind. You know, sometimes for us, it's necessary to tell people no. Sometimes we need to say no to the good things that are happening in life. Just so that we can have that time to recharge ourselves, for that intellectual and physical and emotional batteries to recharge, even when it's good stuff going on. Sometimes we need to have those boundaries. So it's just good to ask God, where do I need to have boundaries in this situation that I'm in right now? And he'll let you know. The next one's interesting is that rest is an opportunity, is something that we can model to other people to let them know that actually rest is important. I know being trained as a nurse, when I worked on the wards, the thing that they like to model is that nurses never rest. You have to be busy. Even if you've got nothing to do, you find something to do, girl or boy, and you do that. You were not allowed to show that you could be still. And sometimes life can be a bit like that, you know, even with our friends, you know, if they say, oh, what have you been doing today? Oh, I've just been lying under a tree. We don't tend to do that. We don't tend to say that, oh, yeah, I did this, I did that, and oh, I did that. So it's actually good to say, hey, I had a rest today. And, oh, okay. And that often gives permission to others to think, oh, well, she does that, maybe I'll do that too. In this next verse in Mark 6:31, you know, they've been working really hard. They just fed thousands of people. The disciples hadn't eaten. Jesus hadn't either. And so because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to his disciples, come with me, buy yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Wow. They've been so busy. Didn't have the time. So he encouraged the disciples to follow his example of rest and get some much needed quiet time. How cool was that? You know, that I think that invites us in to consider how can we provide a similar example to those who are under our supervision or our care or in our influence. Do you model rest to others? Because it is a gift that we have from God. And just another couple more. It's an opportunity to recharge. So Mark 6:46, after leaving them, Jesus went up to a mountainside to pray. So we do see that, you know, rest is often a time to pray, which is really productive, and we get to hear and be in the source of life. But it also encourages us to think about what other activities, as well as prayer, can help us recharge and help us to conquer the next item or the next thing that we need to do. Maybe we might need to listen to worship music, or, you know, there might be some inspiring podcasts you like to listen to, walk in nature, whatever that might be. So just a couple, the next one, Keith. No. Oh, yeah, that might be the last one. Okay, so recharge, yep, was the second to last. Now the last one, clarity. One of the good ones here is for Jesus. One of the days, Jesus went out into a mountainside to pray, spent the whole night praying to God, having time out with God, because the next day he had to make a big decision about who to select for his apostles, those he was going to be with and to teach. And so rest can be a really great time where we can just allow our thoughts to be still with God and just still from the busyness to allow God to direct us. So rest is really important. If you're having got some big projects that you need to jump into, or to make a life-changing direction or decision, it can be really beneficial just to spend some time in rest and reflection rather than one thing after another, go, go, go. Allow yourself, give yourself the permission to slow down and consult with God. It will provide the clarity about what next steps will be, and you can feel reassured and rested for the task at hand. So rest is good. It's a gift. Embrace it. We don't have to be confined to when it needs to happen. It can happen at any point, but it needs to happen. So find routine consistency in that. Embrace it. You know, Jesus took time out from his busyness of his ministry. And his ministry years were only 3. He ministered for 3 years. You know, our life in Christ is our ministry to him and to others as we surrender our life. And I'm thinking that we're all hoping it's going to last longer than 3 years. So if Jesus needed to rest regularly, come away with the Father regularly, how much more so do we? Can I ask the worship team to come to sing a couple of songs before we have communion? So as we sing, we ask you, Holy Spirit, would you just come and refresh our hearts and our mindsets? Lord, would you reset and realign our thinking to know that we have the freedom to rest in you. Thank you.
I invite you all to stand.